I will go, I will do it.
I will go, I will do it. Many times in the Bible, we are directed to seek God's will. In fact, we pray for His will to be done in our lives. We give Him our hearts at consecration, and from then on, our own will is no longer to be considered. We make His will our will. We strive to go where He would have us to go, and we strive to do what He would have us to do. We were surprised how many times the phrase, I will go and I will do it, are in the Scriptures. In fact, I will go is used 40 times. And all of that complete phrase, I will do it, is used only 3 times. The words do it are used 52 times. But unfortunately, sometimes that phrase is used where people choose not to do it. But that will not be our focus today. The thought we want to bring out is that we need to go and we need to do what we determine the Lord has directed. Where does He want us to go? What does He want us to do? Because our desire is to do the Lord's will. What is the will of God? Strong's Concordance reads, His desire, His pleasure, His preference. And in turn, that must become our pleasure. It must become our preference. It must become our will. We're going to use the following 2 scriptures to use as our text for today. The first one is Psalm 71, verses 15 to 17. Psalm 71, 15 to 17. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness, and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only, O God, that thou hast taught me from my youth. And here too have I declared thy wondrous works. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And Luke 8:21. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren, are these which hear the word of God and do it. Hear the word of God and do it. In Strong's Concordance, the word will has the thought of, in the Old Testament, being pleased with, desire, delight, having pleasure in doing it. It also has the same meaning of good pleasure. It's acceptable. And this is important, a voluntary will. In the New Testament, it has some of the same meanings, plus determination, choice, inclination, pleased, and disposed to do it. In our lesson today, we're going to consider both the way we determine God's will and how we react when we learn what His will is. His will, His desire, His pleasure, His choice. As children, most of us were concerned with our own will. We wanted everything our way. And unfortunately, sometimes that's when you grow up older too. But as we matured, we learned that getting our own way was often at another's expense. So as consecrated adults, we learned that even with the best of intentions and desires, our way was often not the best way. We hopefully learned that it was better to seek the will of Him who knows the end from the beginning. It is better to make His will our will, because He is too wise to err. So it's better to make His will our will. Are we inclined to do His will? Are we pleased to do His will? Are we determined to do His will? Are we about our Father's business? Is it our desire to do His will? Is it our good pleasure to do His will? And do we make it our choice to do His will? And do we hear His will very eagerly? What is our answer? After we have determined His will, Do we say, yes, I will go? Do we say, yes, I will do it? And not only to say that, but to act upon it. So how do we determine God's will? How do we react when we clearly see God's will for us? Now, we can only answer those questions individually. One of the most difficult things is to decide at a given moment what is the Lord's will for us. I think one of the best answers that I found was in reprint page 4468. Pastor Russell wrote this, and I quote his comments. As to how we may decide as to what is and what is not the Lord's way for us, we find the rule which George Mueller tells us he followed is so nearly the one which we follow ourselves that we take great pleasure in quoting it. And now this quote goes from George Mueller. I ask in the beginning to get my heart in such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to any given matter. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. So our hearts need to be ready to do God's will. I continue with the quote. Having done this, I do not leave the result to feeling or to simple impression, because if I do so, I make myself liable to great delusion. I seek the will or spirit of God through or in connection with the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word must be combined, because if you look at the Spirit alone without the Word, I lay myself open to a great delusion also. If the Holy Spirit guides us at all, it will do so according to the Scriptures and never contrary to them. Continuing, next I take into account providential circumstances. These often plainly indicate God's will in connection with His Word and His Spirit. I ask God in prayer to reveal His will to me aright. Thus, by the prayer of God, the study of the Word, and reflection, I come to a deliberate judgment according to the best of my knowledge and opportunity. And if my mind is thus in peace, I proceed accordingly. End of quote. We have a great responsibility to go where God directs us, to do what He directs us to do. And each day, God gives us the opportunity. He does give us the privilege to serve Him. This may be done by active participation or leading of classes, being an example by the way we live our lives, phone calls and letters to brethren, prayer, fellowship like we've had this week with brethren, and hopefully we've had various witness activities this week. There are many ways to develop character likeness to God, because as we said, we have given our earthly lives to God if He would have them. If this desire to do His will abides in us, He will receive us. We are instructed to know the will of God. And how are we this done? Through His Word, through His providences, through prayer, through all the experience of life that we have. When we gave our hearts to Him, our own will became our desire to do God's will. At that time, we may not have understood in detail all that would entail. And as we grow and more in the truth, we see His will more and more fully as we continue on a narrow but wonderful way. As we see His leading in all our experiences of life, we become more in tune with the Holy Spirit. And we desire that our minds should be rightly exercised by our trials, that the needed lessons might be learned from these trials. We have received a new mind in Christ. We have a new will. Instead of belonging to the human family, we have stepped into the body of Christ. We have stepped out of the old into the new. Out of the old into the new. Philippians 2:5, Revised Standard Version. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Now we want to think as God would have us to think. We want to develop habits of thought to build up a new creature. And we are always to seek His guidelines in all our lives, in all things. Offsetting our weaknesses of the flesh, offsetting the promoting of that adversary, offsetting the surroundings of this present evil world. But that new mind, that new heart, seeks to know God's will, seeks to obey it. And in proportion as God controls our new mind, there will be in that same proportion a change of ambitions, a change of hopes, a change of affections, a change of sentiments, and a change in our efforts. As we think upon these things and fill our minds with God's divine plan, its transforming work will extend into every avenue of our lives. Every avenue of our lives. We are giving very definite instructions in the scriptures, and by these we arrange our lives in harmony with His word. We seek more and more to apply the knowledge that is gained by the study of His word. As we grow in strength, as we grow in knowledge, our appreciation of heavenly matters increases. Now it takes time to adjust, to be transformed into the likeness of our Lord. We don't learn these things all at once, because the understanding of God's will is a matter of education. And our education is in the school of Christ. In this school, we begin to see what is right, and we begin to see what is wrong. And then we learn to do His will. And that education continues until the end of our lives. And if we have learned our lessons well, we will be considered obedient children. If we have learned our lessons well. Romans 12:2 was used the other day in the baptismal. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is but it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now that power of the Holy Spirit that works in us to do is the same power that works in us to will. We can will to do perfectly, but we cannot do perfectly at this time. Why can't we do perfectly what we want to do perfectly? The Apostle Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans, chapter 7, verse 25, Romans 7:25. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now we know our flesh has inherited weakness, and it has fallen tendencies. Therefore we are unable to do perfect works. Our fallen flesh needs to be covered by the robe of Christ's righteousness. With Christ's righteousness as our covering, we can approach the throne of heavenly grace to find that help in time of need. God is working in our new creature to do His will, to do His good pleasure. And we not only submit to His will, but we delight to do it at any cost to us. Galatians 6:7-10. Galatians 6:7-10. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially the household of faith. As time permits, we would like to look at circumstances surrounding this and the situation surrounding their situation. What has to be done, their responses, their actions. From these characters in the Bible and their responses, we can learn valuable lessons that will strengthen our desire, our preference to show our faith by our acceptable works. James 2:17-18. James 2, 17 and 18. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without my works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. This subject was brought to our mind when reading the manna for October 13th, and we'd like to quote the response at that time. I quote from manna from October 13th. While the Lord's people of the present age are not to be judged by their works, but by faith, nevertheless, works will be required. Because by our works we demonstrate our faith, and thank God. Imperfect works can demonstrate to Him the loyalty of our intent, of our will. If our work demonstrates to the Lord the sincerity of our faith, that faith will be acceptable to Him. We will be counted perfect and be granted a share in the kingdom and all those great and precious promises which the Lord has in reservation for those who love Him. Not merely in the word, but also in deed. For those who strive by the deeds of life to show forth to demonstrate their love. At the end of quote. We want to learn from those who said, I will, not those that said, I don't want to. We want to study the lessons of our Lord as in mind for us. Again, where does He want us to go? What does He want us to do? Now, you know a lot of these characters that we're going to talk about. You know the accounts, but we're going to look at them today, hopefully, seeing them from this aspect. And hopefully it will shed some new light and give us a different perspective of the lessons they're in. Now, we know that there was many times the Israelites said they would obey and do what God desired of them. And also many times they said they would obey, but they did not obey. Each time they were punished when they didn't follow God's instructions. Let's turn to Luke 13:34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them, that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered my children together, as a hen doth gather her brood, under her wings, and ye would not. We're just going to use one example of those that said they would do God's will and did not do it. And that's in the 41st chapter of Jeremiah. We're going to start with verse 16 to 18 of Jeremiah 41. Johanan and all the captains of the forces that were with him, all the remnant of the people, even mighty men of war, and the women and children and eunuchs whom he had brought again from Gibeon, departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is in Bethlehem, to go in into Egypt because of the Chaldeans, but they were very afraid of them. Now follow along in the 42nd chapter of Jeremiah. We're going to be reading from the Living Bible translations, which tells a story. It tells a story of not listening to God, even or after asking Him for His direction. It's a prime example of disobedience and its consequences. Now, this will be from Jeremiah 42, 1 to 21, from the Living Bible. We're not going to read the whole thing, but in verses 1 to 6, Johanan and his army captains and all the people, great and small, they came to Jeremiah and said, please pray for us to the Lord your God, for as you know so well, we are only a tiny remnant of what we were before. Beg the Lord your God to show us what to do and where to go. All right, Jeremiah said, I will ask him, and I will tell you what he says, and I will hide nothing from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, may the curse of God be on us if we refuse to obey whatever he says we should do. Whether we like it or not, we will obey the Lord, our God, to whom we sent you in our plea. For if we obey him, everything will turn out well for us. So they knew what would happen if he obeyed him. Jeremiah gave the Lord's reply in verses 10 to 16 and 19. Stay here in this land. If you do, I will bless you, and no one will harm you. For I am sorry for all the punishment I had to give to you. Don't fear the king of Babylon anymore, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will be merciful to you by making him kind so that he will not kill you or make slaves of you, but will let you stay here in your land. But if you refuse to obey the Lord and say, we will not stay here, and insist on going to Egypt, where you think it will be free from war, then this is what the Lord replies. O remnant of Judah, the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, if you insist on going to Egypt, the war and famine you fear will follow close behind you, and you will perish there. Verse 19, for the Lord has said, O remnant of Judah, do not go to Egypt. Jeremiah warned them to never forget the warning. He reminded them that if they went, it would cost them their lives. Now, Jeremiah knew that he would not obey any more than any other time. Even though they had said, as it said before, just tell us what God says, then we will do it. They did not do it. And because of their deceitfulness, they would die in Egypt. Now, that's the only example we're going to use of not doing his will. We'd like to concentrate on some that said we will do his will. In these scriptures, we have seen what will happen if any promise is made to go and to do God's will, and then do not go or do not do it. This is our lesson at this time, the lesson for the church. We have consecrated our wills to go where he leads us, not to do our own will, as we formerly did, as we did not go back into the world as in the picture of Judah living in Egypt. Now we're going to turn again to the people of the Bible who are more faithful in their actions. And the first example we want to look at shows positive action without hesitation. And I think it's also a beautiful picture of the church as a prospective bride of Christ. This picture is recorded in the 24th chapter of Genesis. You're all familiar with it. So we're going to just paraphrase. Abraham directed his servant to seek a bride for his son Isaac. The bride was to be of Abraham's family. And if his servant could not convince the bride to come back with him, Abraham said he would not allow his son to go there. When the servant Eleazar arrived at his destination, he prayed for the Lord in verses 13 and 14 of the 24th chapter of Genesis. He asked that if the girl he would ask give him a drink, and she would say, I will give water to you, and your camels also, let her be the one you have chosen for Isaac. And even before he had finished praying, Rebekah, a virgin, appeared and did what the servant had prayed for. Then they went to her father's house where a lot of details were repeated. And now we're going to turn to the 49th, the 51st verse. Eleazar said, if you will deal kindly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go. Let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And down to 55 to 58, verses 55, 58. Rebekah's brother and her mother wanted her to stay with them at least 10 days and then leave. But the servant wanted her to go with her right away. So they called Rebekah and asked her if she would go with him with his man. What did she say? I will go. No hesitation, no regrets, no desire to stay longer. And she left taking her servants with her. We think that's a beautiful picture of God selecting a bride for his son. The bride to be selected from the Jews and Gentiles. The seeking to be done by the Holy Spirit. The bride to be a virgin and her servants of the bride called the great company. But the main point of our lesson today is that she was ready to go without any remorse, without any hesitation. She was called, she was chosen, she was faithful. Will we be faithful and become members of the Bride of Christ? Revelation 2:10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Another beautiful story is the book of Ruth. We're going to only look at the first chapter. A man of Benjamin, Judea, went into the country of Moab and were there with idol worshippers. So the man, his wife, Naomi, and two sons, they left the land where they had the privilege of living among God's people. The two sons married women of Moab. They were Orpah and Ruth. The man and the two sons died. Naomi decided to return to Israel, to her home. She thought her two daughters would stay in Moab with her people. Orpah decided to stay and return to her gods. But Ruth clung to Naomi and gave herself unto Naomi's God. Ruth's words in verses 16 and 70 are very meaningful to our study today. Ruth, the first chapter, 16 and 17. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Ruth gave up her homeland. She gave up her gods to stay with Naomi and her God. This was a great sacrifice. But what did it lead to? God gave her the inheritance of Naomi, and she married into a rich estate where she married the prince and became one of the followers of our Lord. She was rewarded for compassion. She was rewarded for devotion. She was rewarded for her sacrifice and her love and her faith. We too would share in the inheritance of the prince if we have fully followed our Lord, if we have served with compassion, devotion, sacrifice, love, and faith. We would also share if we have fully followed our Lord, served with compassion, served with devotion, served with sacrifice, served with love, and served with faith. In Matthew 21:28-32, our Lord gives another example of a man with two sons. He asked one to go and work in the vineyard. The son answered, "I will not." But later changed his mind and he went. The father went to the other son and asked the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir." But he did not go. Then Jesus asked which of the two had done what the father wanted. Those to whom he was speaking answered the first. Thereby Jesus gave them a short lesson of repentance, saying, "John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. Even after you saw this, you did not repent." So it seems that we're better to make a wrong choice and then to repent and do what was right, rather than to say no, or rather than to say you would obey and then not do what was right. We're going to skip the next one. It's about the prodigal son, but you're all very familiar with that. But regarding that, Brother Russell wrote in the Manna for November 21st, "Even on points in which there has been no absolute failure, the result may be a strengthening of character. It may be a crystallization of determination for greater zeal in the direction again, a humility of heart before the Lord in prayer." A strengthening of character, a crystallization of determination for greater zeal, and a humility of the heart. We'd like to read Psalms 103, verse 14. Psalms 103, 14. "For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." So we all strive to do God's will, to go where he wants us to go. But we all face that same dilemma that the apostle faced. And you're very familiar with this in Romans 7, 15 to 20 and 25. But I'm going to read it for the New International Version, if I can read it. "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me." But like Paul, we have this mind which was in Christ Jesus. In verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave of God's law, but in a sinful nature a slave to that law of sin. So brethren, let us as new creatures will to do God's will, to go where he wants us to go. Our flesh is covered with the robe of Christ's righteousness. So let us keep our hearts and minds in the framework of the new creature. Philippians 3, 13 to 14. Philippians 3, 13 to 14. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. So, dear brethren, again, I will go in the strength of the Lord. And those that hear the word of God, do it. Amen.